What if I told you that you could only pick one thing to ask for this year? Like, oh man, I've already set my Amazon list in. You can only pick one thing. Doesn't matter what it is. You can only pick one thing, but here's the catch. Whatever you ask for, you're guaranteed to get it. Sky's the limit. So I want you to think about that. You can ask for anything you want, but you can only ask for one thing, and it's the last gift you'll ever get, but you're guaranteed to get it. What would you ask for? Think about it. What would you ask for? You know, the truth is, there's a lot of things that I can think of. If I'm being honest, one of the things that jumps to the top of my head is money. Anyone else with me on that one? Like, yeah, cash, money, because money solves a lot of problems, right? Money can actually buy you time because you can pay somebody else to do something that you don't want to do. You can do things where you didn't think you were able to, but now you can pay for it. You can go have a lot of fun and do that. And so money really can solve a lot of problems, but money can't buy happiness. And I know people go, oh yeah, it can. Actually, no, it can't, because happiness is based on happenings. And so when happenings go a different way, then, you know, you lose your happiness. You can't enjoy that. Some of you be like, oh, if I could vote for one thing, if I could wish for one thing and be granted, you know what I would want? I would want a relationship. I want to get married. I want him to ask me. I want her to say yes, right? And you're like, I'm tired of my dates with Ben and Jerry. I would just like the right kind of guy, the right kind of girl to show up and be able to do that. And you know, marriage, I got to be honest with you, marriage can be great until it's not, right? And so seriously, as you think about that, there's a lot of things that you think you want. You think you want all your circumstances, all your problems to go away. I just want to get rid of all my problems. I want to get rid of all my issues. I just kind of want to be happy. But the truth is what we really want, we may not even know it, because we say it in different ways. So I find it interesting that when the birth of Jesus Christ was announced, right, and we read about it in the book of Luke, the angels show up, and they show up to the shepherds in the field with their sheep, and everything's quiet, and everything's dark, and all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord, the Bible says, pops up. And he says that the Savior of the world has come, and he has come, and he brings peace on earth. So when Jesus comes, he brought with him peace. And what's wild is if you begin to read through the books of the New Testament, right, in Acts, you know, Luke, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, you read through all of them, and you know there's a common theme that's in there. It says things like, peace be with you. May you have abundant peace. Paul almost always either started or ended his letters with this thing called, he would say, grace and peace be with you. Now, I think it's interesting that he doesn't say, grace and popularity be with you. Grace and power be with you. Grace and positive vibes, man, be with you. He didn't say grace and riches, grace and fame. He said grace and peace. The truth is, the greatest gift that you or I could ask for is actually peace. You go, You can have all the money in the world in the bank and still not have peace in your heart. Don't believe me? Next time you go shopping, look at the magazines that are on the rack there, those impulse buys, right? Especially the National Enquirer, that's my favorite. And look at all the people that have all the money and all the fame and how miserable they are, and they're having divorces and they're fighting over kids and they're trying to figure out this and they're trying to figure out that. Because you can have all the money and all the fame in the world and still be miserable on the inside. You can actually be successful on the outside. Everyone looks at you and go, man, you are so successful. You are so smart. You have the greatest position. You've got the greatest this and the greatest that. You can be successful on the inside, but then you can feel empty on the inside. And you know what you feel like? You feel like a failure. You can actually be married to the greatest person that God has ever created. And I hope you all feel that way, at least at one point in time. And you're like, man, this is the greatest thing in the world. I absolutely love this. But years later, you have no peace in that marriage. And instead of feeling like that marriage has given you freedom, you feel trapped. So the truth is, peace transcends all the different things that we can possibly look at, all the things that we want. And the truth is, you actually ask for it all the time. You don't even know it. We just use different words. We use things like this. I wish I could get all my problems solved, right? Or we say this. I have all this stress and tension. Anyone talking recently about stress? Like stress for the holidays. You're so stressed. Isn't it amazing how much stress an occasion of joy brings in our lives? Oh, we got to go to mom's house, and then we've got to go to dad's house. And then Aunt Sally, if we don't show up there, we'll be in her Christmas letter next year. And so all this stress and tension, you're like, I just wish we could have one Christmas without stress. Anxiety, fear. You know what you're really saying? I just want peace. I just want peace. I want peace in my relationships. I want peace in my marriage. I want peace in my friendships. I want peace when there's a misunderstanding between me and somebody else so that we don't have to have hurt feelings and we don't have to go through this whole thing of who said what and somebody's angry at somebody else. And I want unforgiveness to flow freely. I just want peace. See, in our mind, we tend to believe this equation. No problems equal peace. And so we think to ourselves, how can I eliminate the problem? And you get on the dark web and you find an assassin for hire. Because, think about it, 99% of the problems in your life are caused by a person, aren't they? Don't point. But seriously, they're caused by people in your lives. So you go, oh, that's it. I'll be a hermit. I'll just go live by myself in a cave somewhere in the backside of the desert, and I'll just be a hermit. But here's the problem. You are a person. And you know that many of your problems are actually caused by the person that you wake up with every day. And I'm not talking about your spouse. I'm talking about the person you look at the mirror and then you shave their face or legs or whatever. You maybe both. But seriously, you cause your problems too. And so the truth is we just can't get away with it. But we think if we can solve all of my financial problems, I'll have peace. If we can solve all of my relational problems, I'll have peace. If I can work through my emotional problems, I'll find peace. If I can shore up those health and physical problems, I'll find peace. If I can navigate my way through these mental issues that I'm going through, then I'll find peace and everything will be okay. But we will never be problem-free because we cause some of our own problems. So we're always going to be in the middle of problems. And that's where peace comes in. Because, see, peace is not a life without problems. Peace is actually found in spite of or in the middle of your problem. Because peace is not an event. It's not a circumstance. It's even not a situation. Peace is something that you find or that you have within you so that even though the storm around you is raging, you can still be at peace. It's this amazing thing. Isaiah chapter 26, in the Old Testament, way back years before Jesus Christ was born, Isaiah wrote about what would happen that very, very first Christmas day and the impact, the ripple impact that it would have on the world from that point forward. And he wrote all of this in the midst of tremendous turmoil in the nation of Israel. Chaos, division, all sorts of regime change, anxiety, fear, all sorts of things were happening. In Isaiah 26, 1 through 4, he writes this, in that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. You will keep in, and I want you to underline these two words, perfect peace. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord our God is an eternal rock. Isaiah is prophesying what's going to happen when Jesus comes. He says he is going to bring peace with him. And for all of those who follow him, who keep their eyes fixed on him, he will give them the blessing of perfect peace. Now, what's funny is that those two words are kind of lost in translation. It's actually the same word back to back. It's the Jewish word shalom. So in the original language, it literally says shalom, shalom. Now, that word shalom, you're probably like, oh, I think I've heard that before. If you've ever heard any Jewish people greet each other, they always greet each other shalom or shalom aleichem. And so they greet each other that way. And it's this greeting. And here's what it means, right? Shalom means wholeness, completeness, fullness of peace and mind and body. What a great way to greet each other, right? Hey, I hope you have wholeness and fullness and peace of mind and body and soul and in spirit. Shalom. And so what Isaiah writes here is he says, when Jesus comes, he's not just going to bring wholeness and peace of mind. He's going to bring it times two. Do you remember math? You know, you would see the little math symbol. You see the number, and then the same number up in the superscript above that. And you go, oh, that means you take that number times itself, and all these different things. That's literally what is being written here. He's going, shalom, shalom. I want you to have a double blessing of shalom. And so for us, it's translated as perfect peace in your mind, in your soul, in your body, in your spirit, in your health, in your emotions, everything. I want you to be filled with perfect peace. Now, I don't want anyone to raise your hands, but I want to ask you a very simple question. Do you feel perfect peace right now in your life? And isn't it crazy that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to bring perfect peace to the world, and yet all you have to do is turn on the TV. In fact, you don't need to turn on the TV. You just need to walk in the front door of your house. You need to sit at your cubicle at work. Drive through Indianapolis at 5:04 p.m. There's some people who just got stressed out, like, ah! But God says you can have perfect peace, which isn't a situation, it's not a circumstance, it's something inside you, regardless of what's going on around you. What would it feel like to walk through life like that? What would it feel like when everything is in chaos, you are in perfect peace? Here's the big idea for today. Peace is experiencing God's presence, his perspective, his protection in the middle of my problems. That's what peace is. Peace is experiencing God's presence so you know that he is there. You are not alone in your problem. Some of you right now, you need to hear that. You feel so alone in the middle of your problem, like no one can understand your problem. But God's right there with you. God is present in your problem. But not only do you experience God's presence when you have peace, you experience his perspective. Have you ever gone through something and you felt like it was the worst thing in your life, and a few years after the fact, you look back and you go, man, I actually am glad I had to go through that because it changed who I was as a person, or it let me meet this person, or it made me take this job or take this direction or this course. And so what it does is that when you have God's peace, not only do you feel God's presence in the problem, but you begin to see things through God's perspective, and you go, you know what? No matter how bad this is, I know the God who holds the world together, and he can work this out for his glory and for my benefit. And so I am choosing to see that. And so you begin to feel peace take a seat in your life. And then finally, you go, not only do I feel God's presence and perspective, but now I feel his protection. Oh man, what an unbelievable thing to go through life realizing that no matter what happens, that it had to first come through God's hand to be able to get to you. And God either said, I'm going to choose to allow this because I want to do something in your life or in the lives of somebody else, or I'm going to cause it because I'm needing to move you through this. And I got to tell you, that one right there is a hard one to swallow when things are happening that you don't like. Agree? It's hard. When bad things happen and you're like, I just don't get it. And that's why you go, okay, I have to look at this because I have to believe that God is protecting me in spite of how I feel. Because I've told you this before, but believe it or not, your emotions, they lie all the time. They lie constantly, right? And so we have to choose to believe that. And so peace is experiencing in the middle of your problem, God's presence, God's perspective, and God's protection. That's what peace is. But how do you find that? How do you find that? You're like, well, I open up Amazon and I look for peace, and that's what I find. And it's going to be here in 24 hours or less. Well, there's really just two ways. The first thing is you have to know where the battle actually starts. The battle for peace actually begins right here. The battle for peace begins in your mind. You see, we have to stop thinking that we will find peace when the problems go away. It doesn't work that way. You will never be problem-free. In fact, if that were the case, then what you're literally saying is, everyone around me, because remember, problems are people, right? Everyone around me has the power to steal my peace. If your problems are, if your peace is based upon circumstances, then that means any person driving down the road next to you can steal your peace. Any boss can steal your peace. Any person in your household can steal your peace. So if you believe that peace is found outside of your mind, you'll never find peace. So when you begin to realize that, you know what, peace begins and the battle for peace begins right here in my brain, in how I think, how I perceive, how I feel, that's where it starts. That's when you begin to find victory and you begin to find peace. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul is writing these words to a church in a place called Philippi. That's why it's called the Philippian church, right? Philippians. And so he's writing to them because he wants them to understand that even though bad things are happening in their lives, even though trouble is ahead, that God has still got it. Listen to what he says. Don't worry about anything. You ever been worried and have some really sweet person, maybe your spouse, look at you and say, well, just don't worry about it? Doesn't it make you want to worry more? That they're not worried about it? You have to worry for everybody now because they're not worried about it, so you better worry about it. If you don't worry about it, then no one's going to worry about it. And then how in the world are we going to find out whether or not we figured this out? Because you're worrying. So Paul says, listen, don't worry about anything. But he doesn't stop there. He goes, now, here's what you need to do. Don't be all worried and anxious. Don't do that. Here's what you need to do. And he gives us four things. He says, instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's what? Where does it start? In your mind. If it's here, you have control over it, don't you? If it's out here, you have no control. You actually can find peace and God's peace if you follow the process that Paul lays out. He says, okay, first of all, you need to pray about everything. Then you tell, and then you thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. He goes, okay, I gave you three things. Now I'm going to give you one more. This one's for free. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So how do we begin to fight the battle for peace in our mind? Well, he gives us four action verbs. He says, pray, tell, thank, and fix. Those are the four words. You can underline those in your notes, and you can add all this stuff. It's not there. You can just add it however you want to. But here's the process. When worry or anxiety begins to come at your mind, because that's where it is, right? Anxiety starts between your ears. It starts in the gray matter, usually back here in a distant thought, and it slowly creeps its way like a spider living in your brain all the way to the frontal cortex, and it becomes a full-fledged worry and panic. And it begins, isn't it crazy? You ever worried so much that you started sweating? Isn't it crazy how you can get an emotional, physical response from something that hasn't even happened? You have triggered your fight or flight response with your mind because you're worried about something that hasn't happened and may never happen. So Paul says, listen, when that happens, the first thing you need to do is you need to pray. Like, oh, pray. Now, can I share with you what a prayer like that may sound like? It can be really simple. Be like, God, I am starting to worry, and I do not want to worry about this. Will you please help me think through this in a way that's better and positive? God, please take this thoughts from me. Help me think the right way. And then he says, listen, you need to pray first and ask God, but then you need to do this. And by the way, don't just pray about it and leave it there like, okay, God, there I prayed about it, because Paul gives us four steps. Step one is pray. That's pulling the trigger. Boom, there we go. Now we need to follow through. He says, not just pray, but then we actually need to tell God what you need. So when that worry starts overwhelming you, then you actually communicate to God. Let's say it's about your marriage. God, I'm so worried about my marriage. I'm so anxious, and this is going on, and this is going on. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Then you pray to God, and you tell him that. But then you go, God, here's what we need. We need to figure out what's going on between the two of us. Would you help us figure out what's going on between the two of us? God, we need some time alone so we can work through it. Our kids are driving us absolutely crazy. They won't leave us alone. We haven't had a date night in 17 years. Oh, maybe we should have a date night. Isn't it amazing when you pray and God gives you insight? So you pray about it, but then you tell God what you need. You're like, isn't that selfish? No, because God's resources are unlimited. So when you pray and you ask God for something, he's not taking it from this family over here and go, well, I guess your marriage is going to suck because they need it more. It's not how it works. So you tell God what you need, and then it's amazing. Here's the third part. You thank him for what he's already done in your life. You know what's amazing? Whenever I've done this, often when I get to this point, I can be like, okay, what can I thank God for? I don't feel very thankful. You ever try to be thankful when you don't feel very thankful? It's really hard. So find something simple and easy. I am still currently breathing. Right? Thank you, God, that I am still currently breathing. You know what's amazing? The minute that you say that, something else pops into your head. You know what? I'm not just breathing. I'm actually fairly healthy. I mean, yeah, I could lose some weight. Maybe, you know, the Ben and Jerry's thing. Should probably just stop doing that. But thank you, God, that I actually feel pretty good right now. You know what, God? And I thank you for my kids, as annoying as they are. I am so thankful that you've given me. It's amazing what happens. The minute that you become thankful, there's this switch in your brain that turns from looking for problems to looking for things that you should be thankful for. And so you pray when something happens, when something hits you, you go, God, I'm so worried about this. I'm praying. I'm asking that you would take over this. Give me the right mind. And then you go, okay, God, this is what we need to fix the problem. God, I want to tell you what I need. Now, God, that I've told you that, I want to thank you for what you've already done for me in the past. And it reminds you how faithful God has been to you in the past. And then the last thing is when you finish that all, you go, all right, I'm going to go back to worrying. No. You go, okay. I need to put my brain on something else, because when your brain fixates on something, guess what it does? It fixates on something. It's this amazing thing that God has created us with so our brains don't go crazy, that when you tell your brain to look for something, it will find it. Some of you that have started shopping for cars or shopping for gifts or whatever, you're like, ooh, this red sweater. I really like this red sweater. And it's in your Amazon wish list, right? And you tell everyone, hey, here's my wish list. And you start going out, and you know what you start seeing all over the place? Red sweaters. Because you've told your brain that's important. So it starts looking for red sweaters. And you look for red sweaters. And maybe it's a car. You're like, ooh, I want a Prius. I don't know why you want a Prius, but some of you may want a Prius. And then you start seeing Priuses broken down on the side of the road all over the place. It's an amazing thing what happens. And so it's your brain just does this because it filters out so much stuff, because it takes in so much. It goes, okay, I'm going to filter out all this other stuff, outside the stuff that's important. And so when you fix your thoughts on that which is right, like what is right in my life? I'm going to fix my thoughts on that. What is pure? I'm going to fix my thoughts on that. What is good? What is lovely? I'm going to fix my thoughts on that. And you know what happens? What begins to change in your mind is your mind changes from being filled and corrupted with worry and anxiety and fear. In fact, let's do that really quickly. Let's just take a deep breath. Ready? One, two, three. That's what happens. Because God goes, I've got this. And somebody looks at you and goes, how can you have peace in the middle of this? And you go, you know what? Philippians chapter 4, right? Because you're going to remember that totally. Philippians chapter 4 says that when I do these things, I have a peace that I can't even explain. So I just have peace. And I can't explain it. But that's where the battle starts. Here's where the battle's won. The battle starts in your mind, but the battle for peace is won with Jesus. The battle for peace starts in your mind, but it's won with Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus is getting ready to go through the process of crucifixion. He's going to be betrayed by Judas. He's going to be whipped and beaten to the point where he was unrecognizable as a man. He's going to be nailed to a cross. He's going to be up there and say, Father, forgive them for all the things that they have done. Into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last, and he's going to be put in a grave. And then 3 days later, he's going to rise again victorious, defeating sin and shame and all of these different things that divide us and separate us from God. And so his disciples have no idea that this is going to happen. And so it is in this context that Jesus says this to them, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give. In other words, you can't find it in the world. You search and search and search, you're not going to find it. The only place you're going to find peace is through me. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus' real peace can't be found in the world. In fact, the world is working and is actively trying to take your peace, wants to take it from you. And Jesus knows that, which is why later in that same segment in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says this, I have told you this so that you may have peace where? In me. Because you won't find it in the world. You won't find it in money or marriage or thinking your problems are taken care of. You won't find it in that new promotion. You won't find it in the fancy new house or the new car or the Christmas gifts that you get, or if you figure things out with that gal that you like or that guy that you think is the greatest thing in the world. You won't find it there. But you'll find peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world. When this world tries to steal your peace with pain, problems, persecution, maybe even a little bit of prosperity, or the personalities that surround you, just remember this. My God is good. My God's good. And He loves me. His promises are true. His word never fails. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. When I am lost, He is my guide. When I am weak, He is my strength. When I am hurting, He's my comforter. Nothing can ever separate me from the love of God through Jesus Christ. And He fills me with His peace in the middle of any storm, any trial, any circumstance, because I know He's got me. He will work it through me, and I'll see it, and I'll experience His protection and His peace, and He will bring me out on the other side of this, or He'll bring me to Himself. And I can be at peace. King David of the nation of Israel wrote the book of Psalms. And if you've never read the book of Psalms, especially if you are an emotional person, can I just encourage you to read the book of Psalms? Because some people really struggle with having emotions and following Jesus Christ because they're like, I just feel sometimes, just read David. David felt a lot. And the book of Psalms, about half of them, he starts with like, God! What are you doing? Where are you, God? I haven't seen you in forever. Like literally, I'm not kidding. You think I'm joking. Read Psalms. It's constant. But then somewhere in the middle, he begins to go through the process of peace that Paul kind of lays out. And you can kind of see the transition begin to happen as he's writing kind of a stream of consciousness. He's like, wait a second. God, you're here. You're present in my problem. And I can feel the perspective of what you're doing begin to kind of take place. And I understand that you'll protect me no matter what. And so what I wanted to do is I want to read one of those for you. I'll just read the first verse, then I'll jump down to where he gets it at the end, okay? Psalm 4. How long will you people ruin my reputation? You ever felt that? Man, all these people suck. It's a rough translation. How long will you ruin my reputation? How long will these groundless accusations keep coming? How long will you continue your lies? Fast forward 6 verses. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, will keep me safe. You're like, what happened? He figured out that even in the middle of his problems, he could have peace because he knew God was there with him. He knew that God was doing something, and so he would kind of begin to see how God is working in the midst of that problem, and he knew that God would protect him and see him through no matter what, because real peace is experiencing God's presence, God's perspective, and God's protection in the middle of the problem. But you will never experience real peace without Jesus. There's an old saying, it goes like this, and it's on your notes. For those of you that are old enough, you remember. For those of you that are young enough, you're like, oh, that's so cool. I'll take credit. It's not mine, but I'll take credit. It goes like this. Know Jesus, K-N-O-W. Know peace, K-N-O-W. Know Jesus, N-O. Know peace, N-O. It's so simple, yet it's so profound, isn't it? If you know Jesus, you can know peace. If you don't know Jesus, you can't know peace. Can you imagine? In fact, just close your eyes for just a minute. Just for a second. Just close your eyes. I want you for just a second to imagine your life with perfect peace. Peace. Think about that. Perfect peace. How different would your life be? You see, and you can open your eyes. I don't want you to fall asleep. If you finally experienced peace, what would change? The truth is, you can have it right now. Jesus is offering real, lasting peace for your life. And one of the most famous teachings that Jesus had, he said these words, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul and your mind." Christmas is about Jesus coming as a baby. But his purpose wasn't to start a holiday where we gave each other presents. He came as the gift. The Bible says that God loves you so very much that he sent his son to be a sacrifice for you, not as a baby, but as a man, and as a sacrifice for all of mankind. When Jesus came, he brought peace. When Jesus died, he bought peace. He paid for your peace so that you could experience it the rest of your life. Jesus died so that you could have peace with God, peace in your soul, and peace in eternity. But just like every gift, you can't possess it, you can't experience it, You can't enjoy it until you open it. So this morning as we close, I'm going to invite you to open that gift this morning. Here's what that means. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died on a cross. He paid all of your sins because his perfect life pays and is a substitute for your messed up, broken life. And we're all there. We're not pointing fingers because we are all in the same boat together. And he died for each and every one of us. And when Jesus rose again, conquering sin and death, he said, okay, now each and every man, woman, and child can now experience peace with God, peace in their heart, and peace in their soul. But they have to believe and take that step and put their faith in me. So that's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And by the way, here's what you have to do. You have to stand up. You have to run around seven times. No, stay right where you are. You don't have to move. This is a conversation in your heart and your mind with God. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Dear God, we thank you so much. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ and the gift of peace that he brought and the gift of peace that he bought through his death on the cross for each and every one of us. And so, God, this morning, for those that are here today that have never taken that step of faith, they've never accepted the gift of Jesus Christ, I pray right now that they would pray along with me. And so if you're ready to do that, just pray something like this in your mind, in your heart. Doesn't need to be out loud at all. You can just pray something like this. Dear God, I believe. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I choose to accept him as my Lord and my Savior. I want the peace of Jesus Christ in my life today. For those of you who've already maybe made that step of faith years and years ago, but you have been struggling with peace, I want to just pray for you right now in this moment. Dear God, for those brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I pray for peace over their lives. God, the anxiety of this world, the circumstances that surround us, the struggles that come against us, the problems that we feel each and every day, we've given it the power to steal our peace. And God, that's not the way you planned it. You planned us to have peace in spite of problems or in the middle of our problems. And so, God, no matter what's going on circumstantially or happenings or situationally or relationally or physically or emotionally, mentally, we can have peace. And so, God, right now I pray that your children would choose peace in the name of Jesus Christ. That they would begin that battle in their mind, that they would do the things that Paul laid out, and that we would believe that through the cross of Christ, we can have shalom, shalom, perfect peace. Father, I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, if you prayed with me to take that step of faith, we would love to celebrate with you. So before you leave today, there's a little orange card in front of you that says next steps. We'd love for you to take that. You can just put your email on there. You don't have to put your full name. Just put your email on there, mark, today I accepted Jesus Christ. Then as you leave, you can drop them in the Giving and Connect boxes. And we'll reach out to you via email and just celebrate with you. That way you can ask any other questions that you have about this next step of faith in your life. But right now, let's stand. Let's respond to this great gift of peace that we have.